days. We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, Oklahoma. It's Friday, and I'm excited. I got a call just a few minutes ago. Combines will be there when I get home after the show today. So some things are going to be going down West Carter today. How's that? Anyway, let's check out some temperatures. 84 at Slap Out. 86 at the May Ranch, 87 at the Medford Ceiling, you're 85. Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. Ask James Edwards' daughter. She got to see who the secret weapon was last night at the golf course at Sayre. So she knows who he is now. I don't think she really cared, but at least she knows who he is now. 87 at Hollis, 88 at Hobart, out here in the panhandle of Texas. 83 at Lipscomb, 82 at Miami, 81 at McLean. Dozer, you're 86. Wellington, 88. Odell, south of the River Bridge. Old schoolhouse there on the east side of the highway. 85 degrees. You get on down there a little further southeast, it's pretty warm, though. It's 90 degrees at Wichita Falls. So, anyway, I got some pictures from, just let me bring it up here. We were talking about the Optimum Lake. You know, that thing is a bad deal for the panhandle. They may people move in case the water backed up or the dam broke or whatever, and it just ended up being a bad deal. So anyway, I got some more pictures from Grant up there in the panhandle of what the lake looked like yesterday. looked like yesterday. Anyway, it don't look like much still. So it is fuller than it was the day before, but it doesn't even look like, I don't know. I'm looking at this one picture he sent, and I don't know. Might not even be within a quarter of a mile of the dam. I'm not sure. Pictures are deceiving, as you guys all know. Anyway, that was a bad deal. So anyway, he sent me more pictures. It did catch some water. There's no doubt about it, but Clinton Lake still looks, heck, Elk City Lake looks bigger than it does. So anyway, we'll go on about that. Got lots to talk about today. I hadn't talked about sprayers in a while. So, later on in the show, I got some, spray tips that, tips for spraying and tips for, your sprayer that you may or may not know, but I was going to go over that. And, the do's and don'ts on when to use drones and when not to use drones for spraying. And in the Oklahoma, I got this from the Department of Oklahoma or Oklahoma Department of Ag yesterday. There's new laws in Oklahoma pertaining to drones. I think pesticides. I have to look at that again before I talk about it later on, but I think it's pesticides. So we got that coming up, and let's just see what happened overnight first, if I can find it. There she is. All right. Grain and soybean futures were modestly higher in overnight trading on technical buying going into the weekend. Wheat was down more than 9 cents yesterday. Corn and beans both fell double digits. Investors who were short the market or had bet on lower prices likely repurchased contracts and closed their positions on the price decline after the price decline. Wheat was down more than choppy weather patterns. I don't know why they double paragraphed that. Choppy weather patterns in Iowa showed excessive rainfall in some areas and dry soils in other parts of the state. Sounds like Oklahoma. According to regional crop reports from Iowa State University, in northwestern Iowa, large amounts of rain and hail have fallen in recent days. The area affected by hail seems to be small, but the damage was substantial, said Lee Knapple, an extension agronomist with the university. Damaging storms are forcing growers to reevaluate the need to replant or extra management for the rest of the growing season. In northeastern Iowa, however, dry weather last week allowed farmers to finish planting in the area, according to ISU, Iowa State University. Central Iowa also seen little rain in the past week through June the 18th. We could use a drink. We always can use a drink, as crops were growing quickly and the soil surface is quite dry and hard from earlier pounding rains in some fields. Wheat futures for September delivery rose 3.25 cents to 5.89 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, and the Kansas City futures gained 1.5 cents overnight to 5.99 and 3 quarters a bushel. I don't think that's the case right now. Corn futures were up 1.5 cents to 4.58 and a quarter a bushel. Soybeans for November delivery added 2 cents to $11.18 and 3/4 cents a bushel. Soy meal rose 140 to 341.60 a short ton, and soy oil fell 0.23 cents to 44.14 cents a pound. Ethanol output and stockpiles both rose in 7 days that ended on June 14th, according to the Energy Information Administration. Production of the biofuel increased to an average of 1.057 million barrels a day, the EIA said in a report. That's up from 1.023 million barrels a week earlier. That's a day. Let's go back with a day. They got a lot of misprints on this thing today. Anyway, somebody was in a hurry to go to the lake this weekend. Output in the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, was reported at 998,000 barrels a day, up from 967,000 barrels the week prior. Gulf Coast production increased to an average of 26,000 barrels per day, up from 25,000. West Coast jumped to 12,000, up from 10,000. East Coast output was steady at 12,000 barrels a day. The Rocky Mountain region was the lone decliner, falling to 10,000 barrels a day from 11. Ethanol stockpiles in the week through June 14th increased to 23.617 million barrels. That's up from 23.22222 million barrels a week. Weather in our farm belt. Flash flood warnings and flood advisories are in effect this morning for southeast Dakota, South Dakota, and southern Minnesota and northwestern Iowa. They're getting pounded again. 3 to 7 inches of rain has already fallen in the area where precipitation expected. Flooding is already occurring, and more storms are on the way tonight. They need to move some of them down south here. Anyway, not a lot else going on anywhere. All I can tell you, people, looking at the forecast for the next 7 to 10 days, it's going to be hot. So please start checking your water with your animals, dogs, horses, cats, goats, sheep, cattle. Please check your water pretty often now with the triple digits. Today's going to be the coolest day for the next week to 10 days, so enjoy today. A lot of ball games going on around Weatherford, Elk City, probably everywhere else. But anyway, everybody drink plenty of water, please. Today is the Wheeler General Store happy hour today. We've got that more on the Wheeler General Store coming up. And then what else we got? I think that's it for now. Oh, want to wish Andy Davis with Wheeler Brothers down there at Cordell happy birthday. Already did, but I wanted to say it. I want everybody on the air that's got his phone number to blow his phone up right now. Call and wish him a happy birthday. Send him multiple texts. Just ruin his lunch for his birthday. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, call the guy and give him a happy birthday. Also, I got to see Lake Newcomb this morning. he's not looking too bad for what he's gone through. But anyway, I forgot to ask him about his infection in his hand, how it was doing. But anyway, his head looks way better in person than it does with the pictures. But anyway, I'm really glad he's doing good. And he seemed like he was in really good spirits from that tractor crash he had here a few weeks ago. So anyway, thank you, Lord, for letting Lake stay with us. And we hope he's got more days, more beautiful days to come. And hopefully he gets his hand back to working. And I don't know what we're going to do with his head. I don't think it hurt much there. But anyway, we'll see how that's going. Anyway, so let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. When I come back, I'll have your ag weather update for the Panhandle of Texas. And we'll go over the Lipscomb's Dealership's ag market updates. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Harvest Equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Hi, I'm Gary Owens, the owner of Galleria Furniture. Celebrate our 19th anniversary with 15% off all your purchases all month long. That's right. Save 15% on living room, dining room, bedroom, mattresses, everything. Come shop at Western Oklahoma's largest furniture and appliance store right next to Tractor Supply in Elk City. And remember, we'll beat any competitor's price or it's yours for free.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You know, I love my show. I get text messages, calls that I don't answer, Snapchats, TikToks, text messages on the Today in Ag text line here in the studio. Anyway, I just got one. I just want to give Jennifer a piece of advice. She's out running around with the man, the Martin. But anyway, rubber band will go a long ways with that long hair of yours to keep it out of the lock while you're trying to unlock the lock to the gate. Just a piece of advice from what I seen in the video. I don't know if it was doctored up or nothing, but anyway, just put your hair in a ponytail and you can see the lock a lot better. Anyway, let's check. I'm going to regret that. But anyway, 83 degrees in Miami, Texas. Heat index is 86. Humidity is 59%. Dew point 67. The wind out of the south at 19 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 23. Peak wind gust in Miami today, 28 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 1.38 inches of rain, and 8-inch soil temperature, 75 degrees. There you have it. Currently here in the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, we have 86.2 degrees, 52% humidity, and the winds are out of the south at 4.5 miles an hour. But we're in the town here, and we don't have towers sticking up about 15 foot in the air. So anyway, all right, let's see what the Lipscomb's dealership's ag market update is looking like. A lot of red on my screen. A little bit of green and black, too. Anyway, grains for July. Corn, 436, down 3.75. September, 442, down 2.5. And it just changed on me. Now it's down 2.75. Soybeans for July, 1161, up 6.5. August, 1148, up 8.75. Soybean meal for July, 360, up 6. August is 349.80, up 480. Soybean oil, July 4409, up 12. August 4436, up 11. Hard red winter wheat, July 582, down 9.25. And September 588, down 9.75. What is cotton doing? It's in the red, way in the red. July cotton, 67.86, down 2.99. I just wanted to, I don't know how this works out. I don't know squat about this coffee market, but anyway, it says July coffee here, $226.95, down $330. I got to dig into that a little more and see what's that mean, a sack, a ton, a bushel, whatever. But I seen an email that I get from Texas A&M at AgriLife, and they actually have a school down at College Station that you take a class to become an expert in coffee, growing it, manufacturing, harvesting, the whole nine yards, because coffee is one of the most highest sought after items in the United States right now. And we should know, we got what, 8-10 coffee shops here in Elk City? Population, what, 10,000-15,000? So, I mean, it's a hot item, but Texas A&M AgriLife actually offering a class on that. Okay, August, West Texas Intermediate crude oil, 80.50, down 79. Natural gas for July, 269, down 4. Looks like the S&P and the NASDAQ are in the red and the Dow's in the green. Okay, let's check out live cattle. June live cattle, 187.62, down 55, up 55. August, 183.02, up 47. October is down 47 at 183.35. Feeder cattle for August, 258.32, down 150. September's 259.90, down 127. October's 260.65, down 122. Lean hogs, July, 91.77, up 62. August is 89.07, up 05. That's about it. Let me see what happened up north at some of the stockyards real quick. I meant to do that. It won't take me but a second. Maybe. Whoop, I misspelled it. Bear with me a second here. We're doing this on the fly. There it is. I knew it'd come up. All right, let's see here. Come on, baby. There it is. Up north at Woodward, we had 1,187 head sold compared to last week. Feeder steers and heifers are $5 to $8 lower. Steer and heifer calves were lightly tested, but a strong undertone was noted. Demand was moderate. Quality was average. Looks like here's some 519-pound unwinged steers brought 316. Some 638-pound unwinged steers brought 270. Some 774 brought 259.78. High end was 265. And then a bunch of 927-pounders brought up to 233.50. Do the math on that one, gentlemen. That's a pretty good chunk of change. Heifers, quite a few heifers. It looks like 4 to 5 weights were up to 316. 5 weights were bringing up to 270. 6 weights up to 257. And some 7 weights was bringing up to 249.50. Average was 244.38. Anyway, that was they had some bulls, medium and large number ones, averaging 4 to 5 was bringing up to 350. That 350 was unwinged. And some 5 to 6 weights bringing up to 281. These are all bulls. And some 692 weight bulls brought 241. 786 weight bulls brought 228. That's about it was going on at Woodward. Anyway, do you guys know? I asked one guy today, and he told me, Wiley, I'm looking for some tanks, or a tank, not some, a tank for, somewhere around 750 to 1,500 gallons. I think the nurse tank would work out good to fit in the back of my dump trailer. I'm going to start hauling some water, and I don't want to use the 400-gallon or the 350-gallon Kim tank, but anyway, we're looking for a tank. Where's the best place to shop for a 1,000-gallon to 1,500-gallon tank that'll fit in the back of a 14-foot dump trailer that I got? Need some ideas. I appreciate all your input on that, help on that deal. Text it in here, 225-9697, or if you know me really well, you can text my phone. The nurse tanks look really good that you guys have seen had carry your fertilizer on their little trailers, but they look expensive. Anyway, we're just hauling water, or I might co-op it and use it to haul some fertilizer now that I stepped up and got a sprayer. So anyway, see what goes on there. Anyway, any bright ideas from you guys would be really welcome. Anyway, let's talk about the Wheeler General Store. The Wheeler General Store, Wiley. All right, I already got one vote, Wiley. It's W-Y-L-I-E, Roy. Anyway, the Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. I'm going to change that to 13 years because they've been a sponsor of my show for 3 years now. And I think my anniversary's coming up. 3-year anniversary's coming up. All right. Maybe. We'll see. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas. They look forward to serving you. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. When I come back, we'll have the Northwestern Oklahoma Ag Weather Update, and we'll start talking about sprayer tips. And I know I got friends out there that know all about it. They'll be texting in with other ideals on that'll help people that aren't the smartest with sprayers, so chemical sprayers. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
If you're ready to take your high school events to the next level, Video Reality is here to help you do just that with LED video displays and scoreboards. Video displays add a dynamic and exciting feel to any sports field, gymnasium, or auditorium. Energize your scoreboard with instant playback and even ad revenue. Level up game day for players and fans with an LED display from Video Reality. Over 30 years of experience guarantee a game-changing game day experience. Video Reality, bringing video to life. VideoReality.com.
Shopping for a new vehicle doesn't have to be boring. Hi, this is Amanda with Wendy Nissan in Elk City. Buying a vehicle is one of the biggest purchases you will make in your life. So come see us here at Wendy Nissan and let's have some fun shopping for your new ride. And we'll make it an easy and smooth transaction. Did you know we also have a Ford and Chevrolet dealership? So chances are we are going to have that perfect vehicle you want. Come see us, follow us on Facebook, call us, or shop us online at WendyNissan.com. Choose the Wendy way.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, I got all kinds of nice comments about tanks and stuff. Some not so nice, but you got to know who the source is on that deal. All right, let's check out the weather forecast. Maybe if my mezzanet will work with me here. Sorry, bear with me a second here. I'm having a little bit of delay. Got her. Buffalo, Oklahoma. 89 degrees. Feels like 93. Dew point 68. Humidity's 54. The winds are out of the south at 15 with wind gust up to 22. 10-day rain total, 2.25 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 81 degrees. Sunrise at 6:20, sunset at 9:01, 91 and mostly cloudy today. Tonight, mostly cloudy and 75. Tomorrow, hot. They got a big thermometer right in the middle of the sun here. 98 degrees with south to southwest winds, 13 to 16 miles an hour. That's forecast for northwestern Oklahoma. So where to start on these sprayers? Let's just start with the drone application, and then I'll give you your tips later on. Anyway, how to know if drone application will work for you. Using drones for crop protection application is an exciting new technology, and it really is. I think we got a kid here from Elk City, Mr. Hightower. He's going to, he's up there working on, probably already passed it, how to do this. Anyway, is a new technology for growers and ag retailers alike, but it's not a blanket solution for every field or farmer. Here are five things to consider before heading to the field. Topography is what can make drone application a better option than a ground or plane spraying. Drones are more efficient and can provide better coverage than plane or ground spraying in hilly, oddly shaped fields. You guys thought I was going to stop there, but anyway, spraying in hilly, oddly shaped fields. If your plane applicator is happening to dip up and down from the start to stop, the drone is going to work better. They also have a good selection for, they are also a good selection for fields near waterways, organics, power lines, and trees, tree lines. Since Ceres, who makes the drones, began offering drone application in 2023, several growers have set aside plots in hilly and waterway areas for them to test spray in. If these descriptions match any of your fields, drone application may be a good fit. Field size. The size of field needing sprayed is a large factor as well, per the federal, the FFA. Let's go with that. The FAA. Pilots can only spray what they can see. A very large field may require the drone pilot to stop and relocate several times in order to cover the entire field. However, if you have a large field with a topography that makes traditional spraying difficult, drone application still might make sense for you. Applicators such as Ceres typically charge by the acre, but also have a minimum charge per hour. In Coffee's experience, using drones to spray smaller field only total in a few acres may not provide the return on the investment the grower expects. Considering having a conversation with one of your trusted advisors to determine what the most convenient and economical option will be for specific acres you're considering drone application. The battery life on the drones completing the application is limited. In fact, it can be more limiting than the tank capacity on the drone. According to Coffley, the batteries on the Sears drones may last anywhere from 6 to 9 minutes, depending on the field and how often the pilot must start and stop. To help combat this limitation, the pilot will keep a few batteries on hand to switch out. I hope so. Due to the drone's limited battery pack and tank capacity, traditional spraying with a plane or ground sprayer may be faster and more economical for a large number of acres. If you have a large field but still want to give drone spraying a try, it's worth noting that the batteries will last a lot longer in the morning when the temperature is cooler. The chemicals being applied, keep in mind there's only certain chemicals that can be used for drone application. The EPA allows drones to be used for spraying if the chemical already is labeled for conventional aerial application. This means if you already use a plane to spray your fields, the chemical being used will be fine to use with a drone as well. If you typically use ground spraying but are considering using a drone, double check the label on your chemical to ensure that it can be used in the air. Check out the label database at the Crop Data Management Systems. Search for the products that you commonly use. If drone application seems like a good solution for your farm or the next best thing for your business to offer, be sure to follow the FAA guidelines for certification and approval to fly. In addition, not additional, in addition to completing the initial pilot certification, applicators must notify the FAA before flying. I heard to be certified for a drone pilot, you had to be able to fly for 6 minutes and not crash. No, I'm just kidding. I have no clue what it takes to be. I bet Mr. Hightower knows, Reese does. So anyway, I got a text message yesterday about the drone deal, and let me find it. There we go. It says the Oklahoma legislation passed a bill that makes significant changes to the rules and laws affecting drone operators applying pesticides. I got the email, and I'm not going to go over much of it here, but I'm going to, because I don't understand part of it, or I'm not that smart. So anyway, here we go. There we go. Anyway, the Oklahoma legislature passed House Bill 2185, which made significant changes to the rules and laws affecting licensing for operators applying pesticides. I have attached two, one is copy, and you know, change it. Anyway, let's see here. Basically, there's no change for commercial drone pesticide applications, private and non-commercial applicators applying general use pesticides are exempt from the aerial test license requirement, basically the same as any other type of application they would make. The aerial test certification applies to all commercial applicators and only to RUP RUP applications for by private or non-commercial applicators using drone. Do your homework's all I can tell you. Do your homework if you're going to use a drone to do that. So anyway, I thought you guys, drones are cool. That's all I got to say. Let's see here. Where's all my spray stuff at? I'll be darned. Disappeared on me. All right. Well, I got a back. I always have a backup. Anyway, and this probably interests more of you. Do you guys know which tractors made John Deere a contender? Do you guys remember? There's some of you guys out there still old enough to remember. So that's your hint. It's not the, it wasn't the 4050 or the 4440 or the 42 or 4020. It wasn't none of them. Notice I said old enough. Anyway, in the early 1930s, Deere and Company faced one of the most daunting challenges in the firm then 90 plus year history. Which followed was a series of tractor releases that put the manufacturer on top. The Great Depression had assaulted tractor sales. Before the start of the Depression, 193 companies were building tractors. By 1930, only 38 of those 193 companies remained. Deere's equipment sales had tanked as well, reaching the point of the firm shutting down its tractor factory in 1930. In the meantime, Deere stock plummeted from more than $300 a share during the last months of the roaring 20s to $29 at the end of 1930. Just imagine if you bought 1,000 or 10,000 shares of John Deere at $29 a stock back in the 30s, what you'd be worth today. Woo, son. Anyway, Deere wasn't financially strapped to the point of facing bankruptcy, but it faced a funding shortfall because of the failing U.S. bank system. Remember, that was back in the Depression. To make matters worse, its cheap competitor, International Harvester, a.k.a. Brian Silk, continued to steal tractor sales thanks to the 1924 introduction of its game-changing, multi-purpose row crop tractor, the Farm All Regular. Deere had responded to the Farm All with its row crop model General Purpose, or GP, introduced in 1928. The GP would go through a series of improvements during its production and run that lasted till 1935. IHC leads the way, yet the GP was quickly outclassed by the Farmall F12 and F20. In addition, firms such as J.I. Case and Oliver came out with row crop machines that offered more fit, finish, and features than the GP. until this point, John Deere's horsepower efforts largely consisted of catching up to the competition and not always doing that so well. Charles Wieman, founder John Deere's great-grandson, had worked tirelessly to elevate the importance of the tractors in the Deere product line before taking over as president of the firm in 1928. By 1931, he had created a power farming committee whose purpose was to study tractors and equipment they would use. His goal was to develop a line of tractors that would meet the needs for all the farms and every crop. That was a tall order to fill, but the committee was up to the challenge. Members included Helmer McCormick, Lou Paradise, Harold White, and Theo Brown. Brown was Wingman's go-to guy when it came to engineering. Brown was a consumer mate engineer. Consumer mate. Is that how you say that? Consumer mate. Yeah. Anyway, engineer. A Deere man through and through and born leader. His abilities are testified by the fact that he would garner more than 100 patents during his engineering career. Brown had been working on an advanced tractor line since the introduction of the Farm All Regular. More importantly, he knew John Deere's next tractor couldn't just meet the competition. It had to surpass it, and convincingly so. Well, he got her did. Working under Brown with another Deere wonderkind engineer, Elmer McCormick. Inspired by his design genius, the team set out to create a replacement for the John Deere GP that would be both complete, could compete with the Farm All and lay the foundation for an entire generation of all-purpose horsepower that could be readily expanded into the future. The last point was crucial to Deere at the time. Before this, a manufacturer's tractor line often consisted of a handful of models. In Deere's case, it was basically the Model D, introduced in 1923, then the Model G. American agriculture, however, was undergoing huge changes, mainly because of the Depression, and now it wasn't in a massive move to replace horses with tractors. Demand was growing not only for a wider variety of tractor sizes, as determined by horsepower output, but also features. Well, they're going to have AM, FM back there, 8-track cassette. That's not what they're after. The design for a new generation of horsepower took root in the mind of Deere's chief engineer, Max Slosky, and in the spring of 1931. He continued to develop his concept of the tractor until the spring of 1932, when a large-scale drawings was completed, a prototype, I got it, I figured I'd say that. You don't understand, my glasses and this computer, it's not going good. Designated by Model GX, was completed by the Power Farming Committee in 1932. Next came a production tractor, the General Purpose Wide Tread Tractor, or GP, or A, introduced in March 1934. Getting on up there, well, farmers was just... After that, Green Power immediately took notice of the models A and B, appreciating the line's enormous advances, which in time came. A one-piece transmission case with a high under-axle clearance, the power lift hydraulic system that replaced a muscle-dependent mechanical design, different brakes geared directly to large drive gears, rubber tires. The A was John Deere's first tractor to offer rubber tires. How about that? Centerline positioning of the, I seen that centerline, I was like, they didn't have GPS back there. Anyway, centerline positioning of the hitch and PTO, which would reduce side draft for tillage operations on hills, and an adjustable rear tread. How about that? So, here's the letter series, just to help you out here. The Model G, which was from 1937 to 1953, was 34 horsepower. The Model L was from 37 to 46, was 10 horsepower. 39 to 47 was the Model H, 15 horsepower. And the Model LA was 41 to 46, 1941 to 1946, was 14 horsepower. And big boy, the Model R, was made from 1949 to to 1954 was 47 horsepower. The A and B model would become the most popular and second most popular tractor models in John Deere's now long history. By the end of its 18-year production run in 1952, more than 320,000 Model A's had been sold, making it Deere's most popular tractor of all time. During its 17-year production run, more than 300,000 B's were built, making it the second most popular John Deere tractor ever made. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Let's go ahead and take a break. When I come back, I'll have a Wheeler General Store break. I'll have your Hober Farm and Garden Ag Weather update for Southwestern Oklahoma.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Fracking, production, completion. We believe in a future where energy production goes hand in hand with environmental stewardship and innovation. Join us at the forefront of the oil and gas industry. Ensure your wells are not just productive, but also sustainable. WellWorks Energy, where energy meets innovation. Visit us at WellWorksEnergy.com or call today to learn more about our services and how we can support your operations. WellWorks Energy.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June the 14th. 1,435 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 475 brought 315. 4 at 546 brought 298. 4 at 720 brought 264. 8 at 753 brought 257. 3 at 955 brought 228. 4 at 966 brought 225. 4 head of heifers at 278 brought 335. 8 at 424 brought 290. 5 at 544 brought 286. 7 at 654 brought 253, 20 at 807 brought 218, 13 at 845 brought 221, butcher cows were 62 to 152, butcher bulls brought 120 to 178, bred cows were 1300 to 2500, pairs brought 900 to 2775, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sell every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Hey everyone, this is JJ Quibido at No Limit Land Management and Excavation. At No Limit Land Management and Excavation, we are proudly veteran-owned. We deliver top-tier forestry mulching, land clearing, and excavation services across Oklahoma. We leverage advanced technology, including our Fecon Fusion machine, to ensure projects are completed with efficiency and faster than our competition. Our comprehensive offerings include terrace building, pond grading, junk removal, and gravel installation, all performed with the highest level of professionalism and precision. We are committed to excellence and reliability, transforming each property into a testament to the American dream. We are locked and loaded and ready to get your land cleared, regardless if it is cedars, elms, cottonwood, mesquite, or any other invasive trees. We can help you clear up your pastures for grazing or get your land ready to build. Give No Limit Land Management and Excavation a call at 580-303-8479. We do not give bids over the phone. That number again is 580-303-8479.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton.
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
High cotton.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Quickly, while I'm remembering, tonight from 7 to 9, tonight is the Rotary Radio Auction. Right here on KCO 96.5, thousands of dollars of worth of merchandise are being auctioned. It started last night, minimum starting bid is 50%, broadcast live on KCO tonight from 7 to 9. So anyway, you can get the final auction list is on the Elk City Rotary Club Facebook page. You want to see the list? This is just a partial list I got. Easy to do. So anyway, call in your bids at 580-225-9697 or 9696. Refer to items by their item number. They all have item numbers. Make all bids and even dollars. Don't do this. I'll give you $34.99. Don't do that. Give your name and phone number. High bidder will promptly be notified by phone. There you go. Tonight, 7 to 9, right here on 96.5 KECO. All right, let's go with Reed today. Reed America, down here in southwestern Oklahoma. I seen Scott this morning, Scott Robinson, and I noticed that he didn't have his trailer on, stock trailer, because he's going to the sale barn. So he was coming out the door with Brother Wayne, and anyway, asked him if he's going to buy any cattle. He said he was done. He was overstocked. He didn't even bring his trailer. I bet he still buys some, and he calls somebody to come get bring the trailer. How much you guys want to bet? Anyway. Reed, 91 degrees, feels like 95, dew point 68, humidity's 48, winds are out of the south at 15 miles an hour, wind gust up to 23, no rain in the last 10 days, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 84 degrees, sunset at 8:54, partly sunny and 91 today, south winds 12 to 15, with gusts up to 20. Tonight, same thing, 10 to 15 mile an hour winds out of the south, 72 for low. Tomorrow, just hot, 96 degrees, mostly sunny. South winds 10 to 18 miles an hour. All right, I found them. So this is a tip deal. So the first thing I'm going to go over with you is four sprayer tricks to help keep your rig a rolling. From lubricating booms to cleaning and replacing spray tips, Ace Mechanic Dan Anderson emphasizes the importance of these being a priority on your upkeep during this summer, the season. Number one, RTV silicone is an alternative to pipe dope or Teflon tape when assembling plastic pipe fittings used on sprayer. The silicone sealant allows adjustment to line fittings after assembly and doesn't permanently cement your connections. I need to get me some of that, I guess. Some sprayer manufacturers specify the grease to use. When lubricating spray broom hinges, suspension flex points, and other components that oscillate rather than rotate, The grease that embeds in the metal to make at least a minimal lubrication when high pressure or oscillation without complete rotation squeezes all the grease out of the joint and prevents refreshing of the grease. So, number three, an aerosol can of contact cleaner or brake cleaner is a handy and easily portable way to clean spray tips. Water from the clean water tank works, but a pressurized blast from the spray can often works better. Okay, aerosol, but that's a lot of cleaner. Anyway, if your finger, unless you just need to clean some out while you're spraying. Anyway, if your fingers get sore from replacing the twist-on off nozzle caps on a 120-foot boom, find an old socket that fits over your cap. Then file or grind or machine notches to fit the ears on the cap. Be sure to use an old ratchet wrench that won't be ruined by frequent exposure to chemicals. An approximately size and notch piece of PVC pipe is an alternative to a metal socket, and a chunk of small diameter PVC pipe makes a lightweight handle. All right, let's get out of that one and move over here. Seven tips to rebuild your spray pump. It's not difficult to rebuild a centrifugal spray pump like the Hypro pumps used on many farms, but there are things that ease the process. One, before disassembly, use a center punch or scratch all the mark both halves of the housing so you can maintain the correct orientation. A conventional seal kit provides the basics to rebuild a pump, ceramic seal, gaskets, and O-rings. Number three, the fast way to remove the old ceramic seal is to break it with a punch, then remove the parts. Number four, follow the instructions included with the seal kit about whether to assemble the ceramic seal dry or light oil between the lapper. Five, lube all rubber O-rings. Six, do not over-torque the acorn nut that attaches the impeller to the drive shaft. The final tip, to minimize future leaks due to corrosion, grease the threads of the small square head air bleed bolt before installing them in the cast iron housing. I'm out of here. I'm going to Carter. There's some John Deere combines on the way. See you guys Monday. Hope you enjoyed the show today. It's The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah America. God bless.
We're like the flashlight on your keychain, helping you get the job done.
96.5 KECO, Elk City.
An accused killer due in court. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. A man from El Salvador charged in the killing of Rachel Morin, a Maryland mother of five, faces a judge for a bail hearing, while charging documents reveal more about the suspect, Victor Martinez Hernandez.
Says this, there were signs that Morin had been beaten to death and sexually assaulted. Now, Hernandez is charged with first and second degree murder, rape, and assault. He has a previous history of violence with known gang ties, and most frustrating, he repeatedly entered the country illegally, first in New Mexico and then again in Texas in January of last year, then a third time in February 2023 in New Mexico, and as we now know, a fourth time undetected as a gotaway.
Fox's Griff Jenkins, he's also accused of killing a woman in El Salvador. A federal gun law aimed at protecting domestic violence victims is upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court.
It says an individual, when they've been found by a court to pose a credible threat to the physical safety of another, that individual may be temporarily disarmed consistent with the Second Amendment.
Fox's Shannon Bream, the ruling was 8-1 with Justice Clarence Thomas dissenting, arguing a restraining order without a criminal charge or conviction isn't enough to strip away someone's gun rights. It's the first Second Amendment case since the High Court expanded gun rights in a 2022 ruling. Another one of several Americans detained in the Caribbean recently for having ammunition and luggage is heading home. Ryan Watson of Oklahoma ordered to pay $2,000 and immediately leave.